Good afternoon. If you could turn to your neighbors and say, Lord is here and he wants to speak to you. Could you tell each other that? Yeah. We're finishing up Galatians, and we spent about 7-8 months. Some of you were together all along. Some of you are joining for the first time. It does not matter because so you are saved by grace and Spirit dwells in you. What difference does it make? What really the difference that he makes in your life? It is to love God and love his people. It really is. Christianity is about loving God. If you don't, we were just singing Knowing You by Graham Kendricks. I don't know whether you guys know and love that song. I love that song because it just so resonates with what I believe. Knowing you is the greatest thing. You're my all, you're my joy, and you are my righteousness. You're the best. That really resonates with my heart. How about you? Can I just ask you? The reason I ask is because so you know the doctrine, you know the theory, you know the gospel. What difference is that making in your life? Seriously, I'm asking this question. The title of the sermon today is "The Soul Fulfill the Law of Christ." Sounds very sounds like a duty. I really think it's not a duty. It's the heart of God. And here's what I mean, okay? In 1985, I went on a mission with Operation Mobilization for 2 months to France. And we have a team of 8 guys just going to this region in France near Orleans and basically delivering tracts to remote places. And our leader was a Caucasian man, and he said to our team, why don't we spend next 1 month, we're supposed to leave the house around 8 o'clock, why don't we get up at 4 o'clock and spend 3-hour devotion and really grow in the Lord together. He suggested that, and I agreed to it. 3 guys agreed to it, and we used to get up at 4 in the morning, spent about 3 hours just reading, meditating, and memorizing the scripture. And one of the scripture verses that I memorized in 1985, which is about, how many years ago? I don't even know, 37 years ago, is John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. That's the law of Christ. But that's the passage that Jesus said just a few hours before he went to the cross. It's not duty. You're a Christian now, you love one another. I don't think it's that at all, actually. I don't think that's what that is. The law of Christ is really the heart of God, loving one another. And by this, the whole world will know that you are my disciples, which means there is Christ. There are Christians. And I'm sharing this because you spend after 6, 7, 8 months studying this magnificent book of Galatians, and you know the doctrine. These are the reformed doctrines, if you will. Right? Salvation by faith. Justification by faith and grace alone, in Christ alone, and Spirit dwells in you. So what? What difference is being made in your life? You're busy doing your own life, and church is basically a Sunday duty. I don't think you got it. I don't think so. Do you agree? It just doesn't make sense. You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, and you are my righteousness. You are the greatest thing. And if you're sleepy every single Sunday, something is off with you. Don't you think? Last time we left off with the topic, life in the Spirit. Christianity is about living in the Spirit, person of Holy Spirit. If not, you are not a child of God. That's what the Romans chapter 8 says. And from the last chapter of Galatians, and we suggested two specific things that if you walk in the Spirit, and this is what you will do. One is restore a brother who's living in sin. Okay, if you're living in the Spirit, if you love your brother, that's what you will do. So the second thing I want to talk about today is you bear one another's burdens. Now, would you think with me? Restoring a brother who is living in sin, sexual sin, someone who is in gross, just loving the world and just so greedy, whatever it is. So getting involved with someone's life, a mess, or bearing someone else's burden. Do you think loving someone is a superficial thing? No, right? It can't be. If you want to get involved with someone's mess, that's deeply engaging. And that's not going to happen until you are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. It's just going to be more like Sunday afternoon, we get together and let's eat together. Very superficial. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing, but that's not what the church is. Okay? What about bearing the burden of others, someone else's burden? How many of you know, I'm going to ask you this, is there anybody in your life that you know, a brother or sister, who's having a big burden? And I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind you today so that you don't just listen and just brush it off. I pray that God will remind you with someone who is bearing a heavy burden that he or she cannot carry. Whatever the case may be, loving someone is not a superficial thing. Do you love your brothers and sisters? If not, what is your Christianity? Okay. Today we'll be looking at the second one where Paul and Bible commands, right? Love one another. It's really the heart of Christ himself as he is heading toward the cross, as I love you, which means the cross, right? That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Romans 5:5, he will pour his love upon your heart, which means there's going to be waterfall. Christianity always begins with waterfall, always begins with God. If you think it's you trying, that's a religion, that's man's religion. That doesn't work, and that never works. Okay? So, I want us to think about this. When you say you are saved by grace, justified by faith, that means you're united with Christ, and you are united with brothers and sisters, with the church. That's the biblical teaching. Okay? There are a lot of different ideas out there, which is not biblical. Bible says you will be united with Christ, and you will be united with his body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, loving one another. Loving one another is not a superficial Sunday thing. I don't know you, you don't know me. Don't, you know, step on my toes. I'll never step on your toes. That's not Christianity. We get involved with sin, someone who's lost, bearing the burden, okay? And that's what Christianity involves. So, what is the law of Christ? I want to jump right in. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, I recited already. A new commandment I give you. Are you listening? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, he's giving you a command. The King is giving you a command. Love one another as I have loved you. Not just try to be nice to each other, but you love and engage and give and share with one another as I have loved you. That's what the Holy Spirit will remind you every single day if you walk with the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. He pours his love upon my heart, and that is the love of the cross. Okay? Sacrificial giving of himself and love. And just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And verse 35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Few things from this command or the law of Christ. Number one, Jesus gives the commandment. Who gives commandments? God does. Almighty does. Ten commandments. Now Jesus comes along as he's heading to the cross and he says, a new commandment I give you. And this commandment is to his disciples. If you're not a Christian, this is not going to be applied to you. It's not going to work. It's not going to apply to you. But if you're a Christian, saved by grace, this is, he's speaking to you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? So you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The second thing I notice is loving is one another. One another. It's not about your relationship, your personal relationship in isolation and being spiritual. There are so many people thinking that spirituality is between me and Holy Spirit God. It is, but it never stays like that. In the scripture, it's clearly stated that we are called to live and grow and mature and living out the Christian life with one anotherness. And I shared this last week. Philip Ryken, who is the president of Whitton College, used to be the pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. He shares the life of the Spirit or Christian life. Christian life flourishes for the sake of others. If you're living in the Spirit, and you're bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace, who would be benefited? You would. If I am grumpy and angry and cynical all the time, I don't think you'll enjoy that. Would you? And vice versa, right? So life of the Spirit flourishes for the sake of others. It is not experienced in private, but primarily exercised in public. Okay, one another, one another. Therefore, it does not grow in isolation, but within the community of faith. That's the local church. That's the church. You know, we just finished the membership class. If you don't think much of a church, you don't know the heart of Christ. You really don't. Christ died for the church. Christ loves the church. Church is the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Okay? And then he finishes off, spiritual life is meant to be shared. So when you become a Christian, you are united with Christ and you are united with a church, brothers and sisters. That's proper Christian teaching and doctrine. Okay? And the outcome would be, if we love one another, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. And a lot of people ask, if we just love one another, what about the world? Don't we supposed to love the world? People try to outsmart God, right? But God's plan is, if you love one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. What does that mean? This is what it means. When people see you love one another, really bearing the burden of each other, really going after and really caring for one another, what they're going to see is Jesus is real. Wow, that's Jesus' disciples. That's what it means to live a life of Christianity. He must be real. God must have loved the world and sent Jesus to us. And, you know, he is sending, his sending is real. His loving is real, his death is real, his resurrection is real. When you love one another, when you live Christian life, if you live in isolation, you're not gonna help people to understand who Christ is. Are you listening, brothers and sisters? I hope you're listening, because that's the plan of God, and that I believe it is the heart of God. He loves the world more than you do. Do you really love the world and you want the world to know that Christ is real? Then love one another. But that's not going to happen until the waterfall just falls through the Spirit of God living in you and you're walking in the Spirit. Okay? That's where we left off. So how do we specifically fulfill the law of Christ? And today we're looking at verse 2, 6-2. If we let me begin from verse 25, chapter 5. If we live by the Spirit, that's for Christians. If we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We talked about the first specific way of loving your brother. Number one, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, sexual sin, most prevalent in the scripture, probably most prevalent in today's society, right? What do? You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, okay? You don't just leave them alone. You don't just gossip them. You don't just kind of like give up on them. You go and restore them. You speak to them. Pray for them in the spirit of gentleness. We talked about this. As we keep on watching ourselves, lest you be tempted. And the second specific way of loving your brother is bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so second specific way of loving your brother is bear one another's burden. Can I just ask you right now? Do you know anybody in your life in this congregation who has a burden? And I'm asking this question not to corner you, but I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. Do you care someone enough in this congregation, in this local church, that he or she has a big burden right now? That you want to bear the burden together? You want to just help him or her together? What are some burdens? I thought about some burdens. Would you think with me? Just simply sickness. Sickness in his life or in his family's life. It's very difficult. Sometimes it's a sudden onset. Sometimes it is a long-standing sickness in the family of his life or her life. And you could bear the burden of that person. How about ongoing and seemingly impossible family issues, family problems? So common. So common. Right? So heavy to just bear on his own. Family heartaches. About sudden onset of life-challenging difficulties and crises. It happens, people. Accident. It happens all the time. What about just depressive periods? Someone just gets really depressed and panic attacks. Psychologically just weak. Do you know anybody like that? About financial pit? And the list could go on. Brothers and sisters, we are called to bear one another's burden. Okay? Sometimes in life, the burdens are so heavy, and God allows that in your life. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate burden bearer, right? Come, all you weary and heavy burden, and I'm going to give you rest. And he's the one who bore our sin on the cross. Yes, he's the ultimate burden bearer. But now he helps and he uses the church to bear one another's burden. If you are hearing this and being registered, would you say amen? Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be a church. That's what it means to love one another. If I don't know you and you don't know me, there's no way I'm going to love you and you're going to love me. And the truth is, you don't love me and I don't love you. That's just the way it is. But we are called. And the Spirit of God calls his church to bear one another's burden. Okay? There's a beautiful biblical example I want to share in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians written by Paul. And Paul, the super apostle Paul, he was in a depressive and he was in a burdensome stage of his life. And this is what he wrote to Corinthian church. Listen, This is really good, actually. Even Paul, servants of God, have burdens. Okay? Here's the description. Chapter 7, verse 5 says, "For even when we came to Macedonia, Paul and his companions, kingdom workers, when we came to Macedonia, which is the northern Greece, this is what the situation was. Our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting outside and fear within." Can you picture that? Can you picture that? No rest physically. Fighting every turn. People attacking and persecuting. And that's normally the case with ministry. And within there's a lot of fear. That's Apostle Paul. That's the situation. Okay? What happened? Verse 6, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us." How did he do that? Are you ready for this? By coming of Titus, just one person. Who was Titus? Titus was Paul's disciple. One Christian co-laborer with the same heart. Really lift him up. Are you listening? Okay? But that's not all. Not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted. In other words, Titus was comforted by something else. What was that? By you, Corinthian church. As he told us, as Titus telling Paul of your longing, your mourning, and your zeal for me. That really, really lifted me up. Do you know pastors and kingdom workers need encouragement? And I'm not saying this to, you know, create, you know, your support right now. I'm not just saying that, but scripture speaks about Paul afflicted, fighting, fearful, and he was comforted by Titus and the message he brought. And the message he brought was Corinthian church, which is the church that Paul planted, really longing and mourning and really rooting for him. It really helped him, lifting and bearing the burden together. Brothers and sisters, do you think about bearing the burden of the ministry of this church? You know, I share this in previous service. I'm going to share this again. When I started the ministries, you know, this English ministry 27 years ago, for the first 10 years, I felt like I'm just pouring myself into the ministry. But when I looked, there was nothing. That's how I felt. I'm just being very frank with you. For the first 10, 15 years, there's just nothing left. It's like a bottomless base, or there's just nothing. People get excited after the service. People get excited for eating out together. But people don't get excited for the ministry. First 15 years. But some time ago, praise God, that changed. People began to understand the heart of God. I feel like I'm definitely not alone anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm sharing this with you because as I explain this example in the scripture, you could be that encouragement to the church, to the kingdom work. Would you say amen? Okay. Titus and the message that he brought. Who would do such burden bearing? Do you do burden bearing of others? Who would do such thing? Okay? Really loving someone, a brother, as Christ loved. It's described right here. Okay? Bear one another's burden. I'm going to go to verse 2. Bear one another's burden so to fulfill the law of Christ. And here is the description of a person who would do such thing, who are walking with the Holy Spirit. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That kind of interesting? Seemingly, it's just not related, but it is totally related. If you walk in the Spirit, you don't think you are something. You really think you are nothing before the Lord. right? That's what the scripture is kind of teaching. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So who would do such a burden-bearing kind of life and led by the Spirit? Someone who watches his own life. Here's what I mean by that. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, he will speak to your heart. He will speak to your heart through the message that is spoken on Sunday. He will speak through your heart on Monday morning when you open the scripture. He will speak to your heart. Holy Spirit will continue to nudge you and speak to you. Right? And realizing, helping you to see what is really going on in your heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit brings conviction about sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16. Do you understand? You realize, you begin to see when the Holy Spirit shines upon your soul. Man, I'm so immature. So greedy. I'm so self-absorbed. Man, Holy Spirit convicts your heart. And then help you to see his great grace upon your life. Help you to see the love of the cross. Help you to see his patience towards you. Help you to see his greatness, his goodness, and his glory. Can I just ask you, when you stand before the greatness of God, are you a great person? Of course not. That's why the Bible says, you know, if anyone thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, if you're not deceived yourself, you realize you are nothing before the Lord. Just mere dust. Only reason that I'm standing here in this pulpit, would you look at me? Because God has shown great mercy upon my life. Do you understand that? Only reason I could preach this precious message is because he keeps my mind still. You know, he could take your mind away, like Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know that story? Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Babylon. He's the greatest kingdom, right, at the time. Thinking that, now, who could be greater than me? He was so proud. And God just take his mind away. And he began to live like a beast because he lost his mind. You know God could do that? Do you know that? Right? If anyone thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That means you are conceited. You are proud. The word conceited is so interesting. In Greek word, it means vain glory. Kanos doxa. So interesting. Vain glory. You think you're a glorious person, but it's all vain. It's empty. There's nothing. Okay? I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he kind of gives this explanation. Paul gives this explanation against the Corinthian church. And in chapter 3, he writes, each one's work will be revealed, for the day will disclose it. In other words, on the final day of judgment, everyone's work will be disclosed. Would you think with me? The work of new heart, not that it is my work, but I was involved. On the day of judgment, it'll be revealed. In other words, whether you are real or not will be revealed. And this is how it is written. Jesus is the foundation, and if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Could you picture? Gold, silver, and precious stone. Or wood, hay, and straw. Do you see the difference? Two very different type of material. And each one's work will manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it'll be revealed by fire. What's going to happen if you burn gold, silver, and precious stone? It'll become purified. What's going to happen to wood, hay, and straw with the fire? What's going to happen? It's going to burn away. On the final day, it'll reveal where one's work is, whether it's going to last or not. And he explained it this way. Because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives by the fire, he will receive rewards. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. In other words, one day, it'll be tested by fire, whether you are real or not. I don't know what kind of fire, but definitely Lord's test will just blow away anything that is not real. Are you listening? Are you listening? And that applies to me, and that applies to you if you're a Christian. So we could have a 1,000-member congregation, but the fire will bring what's real things and what's not. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then Paul reminds, right underneath that, Paul reminds that we are God's temple. In other words, Spirit of God dwells in us. That's what Christianity is. Are you listening? God, Spirit, lives in us. Then he goes on to say in verse 18, let no one deceive himself. Anyone among you think that he is wise in this age? You think you're wise because you have a degree? Bible says, let him become a fool. We could do kingdom work and Lord's work with a lot of my wisdom, my background, my degree, basically, and let him become a fool that he may become wise. Why? Because the wisdom of the world is folly with God, and Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Wow, this is such a sobering word, isn't it? You think you're wise? You think you're something because you have a degree? You think you're something because you have some money? Bible says, become a fool. In other words, depend on him. Trust him as if you know nothing. Led by the Spirit. That's what I'm hearing, people. And the conclusion, Paul says in verse 21, so let no man boast in men. Let no man boast in men. I really think this is the crux of Christianity. If my boast is my background, experience, degree, and whatnot, everything will be burned away. If it is built upon the foundation of Christ with gold, silver, and precious stone, with the truth, even when the fire comes, you're going to be standing. And I think that's what's going to matter. So what is the antidote to self-deceit and pride and being conceited and vainglory? It is to examine yourself, test yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you test yourself? How many of you walk with the Holy Spirit and see if your work is like wood, hay, and straw kind of work? Or is it gold, silver, or precious stone kind of work? Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? If not, you're building, that's going to just fall away to nothing, people. And I've determined in my mind, it's not really try to gather more people, try to, like, you know, meet your need to your years. But I'm called to love the congregation, and the way I could love you is speaking the truth with sincerity. I want to speak the truth of God to you with sincerity. If you're living in sin, you know I will come and speak to you. So bear one another's burden, and that's what it means to love your brother and sister. Okay? Don't pass someone on the back, hey, let's have dinner together. It's not that superficial. The biblical way of loving one another is deeply engaging. So if you keep your church in distance, it's very hard to do that. Do you see that? Church is like a family. Do you care about what's going on in family members' life? I hope you do. Do you eat just once in a while, or do you try to eat every day together? That's what it means to love one another. I'm hoping that you would listen. Examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. In other words, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit, He will continue to guide your heart. So you don't get inflated with yourself. Hey, I'm such a something when you're nothing. Being deceived. You don't live like that when you walk with the Holy Spirit. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, Spirit will remind you of what you are made up of and what He has shown upon your life. So your heart will be so full of grace and full of thanksgiving. Just thankful that He even knows me. Knowing Him is the greatest thing. Knowing you is the greatest thing. People always say, oh, I want that in the name of Jesus. You do not know Him. Jesus is your means if you do that. So why is it so important to do that? Verse 5, for each one will have to bear his own load. And what it means is this. Romans chapter 14, 12 says, let each of us will give an account. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. In other words, I'm going to have to give my account to the Lord as a servant of the Lord. You do not have that responsibility. If I continue to speak something that pleases your ears so that you feel pretty good when you leave that door and go back and live the life of your own, I will be responsible. I need to speak the truth of God to you. I'll be accountable to Him. And you will be accountable to what God has given to you as well. Okay? That's what the scripture is teaching us. I just want to close. So living in the Spirit as a Christian, led by the Spirit, or Christian life, is engaging deeply with brothers and sisters. Do you do that? I'm really asking you, do you do that? It's tiring, it's inconvenient, it may be even scary, but if you think about it, that's what Christ has done by coming to us. He actually came to us when I was in a mess. Do you agree? He actually came to me and He dealt with my depth of me. And He's still dealing with the depth of me. He bore my sin, all my garbage, all my sin. He actually dealt with me like that. Now He lives in me, and He walks with me. That's Christianity, isn't it? We are His disciples. In Genesis chapter 4, after sin came into the world, it carries the story of a first murderer, first killer. Do you remember who he is? Cain, who killed his brother. Now, listen to this. This is such an interesting story. First murderer of the Bible and history, it's someone who killed his own brother. Cain killed Abel out of jealousy. I'm just going to try to make it simple. And then God sought after Cain. Do you remember that? God came to Cain and asked this question. Where is your brother Abel? And that's a great question. I'm asking you. God is asking you the same question. Where is your brother Abel? Where's your brother? Do you remember the question that God asked Adam when he sinned? Where are you? He was hiding behind a tree, but God asked the question, where are you? That's a great question. Where are you? But the question that he's asking Cain is, where's your brother Abel? And Cain answers, listen to this answer. I do not know. He just killed him. And he's saying, I do not know. Do you see the wickedness? I do not know. And then even further, the famous statement, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Wow, this man has no conscience at this point. He just killed him. And he talks back to God, who's coming to him, which I think it is grace, because he could have just punished him. But he came to and speak to him with a question, where's your brother? Where's your brother Abel? And he lies, I do not know. And then he goes, am I my brother's keeper? Do you see? My brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, saved by grace, Spirit lives in you, where's your brother? Where's your brother Abel? This command, or the law of Christ, is to bear one another's burden. It's not just a duty, people. It's the heart of God. Do you see it? It's the heart of God. It's what it means to live as Christ followers. To love one another, eleloos. Did I say that correctly? Not with lips and tongues, with like group dinner. We got to go beyond that, people. We got to go beyond that. And I know Lord is working in this congregation. Slowly, but surely. Okay? Yes, we are called to know where your brother is. Yes, yes. If the Spirit is leading your life, you would want to know where your brother is. Not only you know where your brother is, and you would go after your brother and bear his burden so that he'll be able to stand and she'll be able to stand. Amen? I'm going to ask you one more time. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, saved by grace, Spirit lives in you, then bear one another's burden. Let's pray together.